Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 22nd of October, recording at 9:15 p.m. And yes, it's still British summertime. Now, first, the highlights here today. Stock markets generally nervous. Interestingly, in China, down for the fourth consecutive day, although not down a lot on over any of those days. Big downward dynamic in Hong Kong, however. India slightly steadier, but it had come off earlier on due to the government actions on the so-called participatory notes. And the European stock markets were fairly weak here today, with declines ranging from 1% to just over 2%. Wall Street, however, excuse me, followed that lead early on, but then closed pretty well near the highs of the day, up 45 on the Dow, 570 on the S&P, and the best performance, 2877 on the NASDAQ Composite. That was up 1.06%. Now, in other action, and this was quite dramatic, the U.S. dollar rebounded in here today. The euro fell back to 141.72. Sterling fell back to 203.23. The U.S. dollar index rebounded in a key day reversal to 78.04. That's up 633 ticks. And the euro also had a downside, had a key day reversal on the downside, of course. And elsewhere, precious metals were hit very hard when stock markets were weak and against the background of a rallying dollar. But precious metals pegged back a fair proportion of those losses, probably about 40% of them across the boards. A little bit more in the case of silver. Industrial metals were mostly easier, as were soft commodities, although the wheat market was strong, as it was again on Friday. Well, firm, I should say, as it was on Friday, and it looks to have perhaps ended this little setback that it had seen over the previous just about at least two, probably 3 weeks. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, I'm going to have to pause and just take a little drink here because of the scratchy throat. Sorry about that irritating human frailty. But as far as stock markets are concerned, we've got a reaction underway for most markets in here. So far, it's a fairly small one, although there are the exceptions, and the exceptions are mostly the markets that have big weightings in banks and also property, for instance, Ireland. Ireland's index has dropped back down to retest its August lows. And then also within Europe, Switzerland's stock market has really been underperforming since last February, and it now has a lower high. And so it really does have some work to do on the upside to take this chart pattern off the endangered list. Elsewhere, I think where the Fuller Money themes are strongest, and that's, of course, led by resources and the Asian emerging markets. There's a fair amount of breathing space above underlying trading, which had occurred prior to that August correction. So this looks just like a normal pause for them overall. But there are no grounds for complacency at a time when the U.S. banks are really performing so badly overall. Now, they too closed near the highs of the day here today, but that was a pretty modest gain overall, and a far cry from the dynamics that we were getting in the second half of August and in September. So while those bank shares remain very much on the ropes, there are certainly risks for the markets involved, which will probably range at best. And that's a sort of pattern that we've been seeing with some markets for really quite a few months now. In other words, a complete loss of upward momentum within the overall upward trend, but not necessarily a downward break. So a few instances of sustained downward breaks within those patterns, but they're not performing, and that's enough, and that takes them off the promising list in terms of the global beauty contest that we often refer to. In other words, for investors, they should view markets as a global beauty contest and go with what really looks best, and particularly if there's a very long-term and secular theme, such as the supply and elasticity meets rising demand, or the Asian emerging market growth story, to be able to justify a substantial overweighting in those markets. Now, Asian banks are outside of Japan, of course, are tending to hold up extremely well overall, just slightly underperforming their broader indices, which is hardly surprising given the weakness of Western bank shares. But it's not a bad picture by any means for those Asian financials, not to mention the Asian indices overall. But pretty well everything got overextended, as you know. It's something that I had commented on before this selling squall that we have seen last week and carrying on into this week. A number of these indices, if you look at them on weekly charts, had pulled well up and away from their 200-day moving averages, leaving them vulnerable to reactions and sideways ranging to correct those short-term overbought conditions. So I think we'll see a little bit more of that, and that would certainly be quite healthy overall. But thereafter, I would expect those favored fuller money themes to continue on upwards. Now, if that's too optimistic, it will no doubt be because bank shares don't rally, but continue to, in the West that is, and in Japan, don't rally, but extend their overall declines, indicating growing problems, because you really can't divorce the financial sector of a country from the rest of the overall commodity, not in my book, at any rate. It's not that big a problem if it underperforms, but we're not going to get major divergence. In other words, if banks head south, it'll drag down the broader indices sooner or later, as we've already seen. And strong performing banks are just about my favorite lead indicator going for stock markets overall. Okay, what about government bonds? Well, the selling squall that we've seen in equities has caused a little bit of money to flow back into those markets. I would be surprised if we had much further potential for gains on the upside in terms of the bond futures. In other words, I think it's unlikely that yields fall much further. They're up near, yields are down near potential support levels on the long-dated issues, in my opinion. And I think this is just a temporary haven, and that overall, once investors begin to look beyond this economic slowdown. And of course, if you get a stock market reaction, then people talk much more actively and aggressively about the slowdown. But my hunch, as you know, all along is that the U.S. would just squeak through this without a recession, defined, of course, as two consecutive quarters of negative growth, minus figures. And it would do so with the help of the global economy and the soft dollar, which is good for the big U.S. exporters, the big competitive U.S. exporters, that is, and most of them are fairly competitive. Otherwise, they wouldn't have become big exporters. Now, but I don't like the bond sector, but I'm not yet quite ready to go in and short it. But I've been too cautious in the past when we've had these opportunities. In currencies, it'll be interesting to see how the dollar performs tomorrow. And the dollar index, for instance, would need some upside follow through after its key day reversal on the upside to indicate further recovery scope. So it's an interesting signal. It has certainly checked the dollar index's slide in the short term, just as the euro's advance against the dollar has been checked by its downside key day reversal. But we need to see a little bit more evidence in terms of follow through on those patterns tomorrow for this to look like more than perhaps a one-day wonder during a rather emotional day, at least in the beginning, because of some of the weekend press following Wall Street's very weak close on Friday and a generally soft week in markets last week, and a disastrous one yet again for the Western bank shares. Okay, in terms of the precious metals, they do experience some contagion when there's a lot of selling pressure on stock markets or when the dollar is rallying, but I'm, as a bull of the sector and with positions, although I had some of them stopped out in here today and a few on Friday while I was away, all covered in the report, of course. But while I still have not insubstantial positions, particularly in platinum, again, I'm not really looking for anything more extensive than a bit of consolidation in here before these overall upward trends are extended. It may take longer with the industrial metals overall because they show a mixed sequence of patterns, unlike the precious metals, which are all reasonably silver, although a lot of people are fretting over the fact that silver did not push up into new high ground the way platinum and gold did. But my answer to that is that silver had done so spectacularly well back in 2006 in rallying up to its high. Gold did pretty well as well, but silver did even better and fell back further in its role of being high beta. And if you take silver's performance, a lot of people have been saying, well, silver's underperforming gold, but depends how you measure it. If you take it from its August reaction low, the percentage gain that silver attacked on was certainly higher than what gold saw. And when I last looked at that, I think it was 28% for silver on the upside from its August low, and about 18 or 19% for gold. So I stick to my guns that we have commonality here with the precious metals in that they all have basically similar patterns, but we do not have that with the industrial metals, although I mean I'm strongly of the view that these are still in long-term secular bull markets, which are punctuated by some significant and lengthy medium-term corrections. What's a significant and lengthy medium-term correction? Well, you get a very big pullback, which can be 20%, 30%, 40%, and you, although seldom the latter, and they can range sideways, or they can range sideways for a couple of years, although that will be the exception rather than the rule before the overall bull market is continued. Crude oil appears to have peaked in the short term, down again in here today, but off the lows, interestingly. I'll give you the price. Close at 87.56, or that's where it's trading. Now that looks like a close. Had been a dollar lower. In other words, 86.17, more than a dollar lower earlier today. But again, this is in a long-term overall upward trend, and it had run ahead a little bit too fast and moving up to 90, which prompted everybody to then forecast 100. That's usually a signal of an overbought market in the short term, but I don't look for too much of a pullback in here, the low 80s at most, within this uptrend before we see it extended. I mentioned in wheat in my review that we may have seen the end of its correction, but that does require, well, it's more of a reaction than a correction, a reaction being a small correction. But it, of course, if that's true, it needs to hold the low that we saw last week. And I think that's pretty much it. So I'll just say all the best to all of you, and again, apologies for the croaking voice.